Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly.
I'm Kai, and this is another mini episode, although maybe not so mini in the final analysis, of Make Me Smart.
I know. I want to believe this is going to be a maxi episode.
But that makes producers crazy when you do that, so don't even do that. Because we're doing a best of show. That's what we're doing.
We totally are. I love, by the way, that we have the cojones to do a best of show for a show that has not even launched yet.
Look, man, go big or go home.
In case you don't even know, in case you're new to this podcast feed, Make Me Smart is our utterly nascent podcast, which is actually launching in January.
Oh, man.
But the thing is that we have been talking to each other, practicing the show, doing pilots since the summer.
Can I tell you what the pilots? Can I just tell you? Anyway, all of which is to say that back in the vault that is our pilot project, there's lots of good stuff. There's lots of fun. So we're going to play some of that for you just because, why not?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and unlock the vault, even though I know that Kai said this actually happened because last week Kai said that they were consigned to the dustbin of history and you would never hear from them again. And I was like, oh, no. Because people need to know some of the things that I have learned over the last few months.
Yeah.
For example, the international intrigue that makes up just a normal daily story from one Kai Rizal.
I have three fun facts with which to begin the day. Which would you like? One involves Yahoo and two involve being spied on by communists.
What? I want the two communists.
No, you can only have one. Which one do you want?
What? I choose middle communist.
Middle communist. So I spent 4 years in the Foreign Service, as some listeners may know. My second posting in the Foreign Service was Beijing, China, run, as you know, by Chinese communists. So we show up, my wife and I, as brand new diplomatic officers accredited to the agency. No, it was not the agency. That's kind of the moral of the story.
Oh, really?
Accredited to the embassy. And so our first day there, our car hasn't showed up yet. We go out to get in a cab, and there's a guy waiting right there in the cab line at the hotel or the apartment building we're staying at. We hail the cab. We get in. We go off and do our thing. Next morning, we get out. We look for another cab, and the same guy pulls up. And we're like, huh. Well, this is interesting. We get back that afternoon, then we go out for dinner that night, go out to get a cab, same dude, right? Mm. It's the Chinese Public Security Bureau keeping track of us to see if we are, in fact, employed by the three-letter agency that goes by CIA, which is not the Culinary Institute of America, let me just tell you that.
And you were.
We were not. But that's just to get us to something we're going to hit on later in the program. Chinese communists and Russian communists and American democratic capitalist people, everybody spies. And we should talk about that. Oh, man, oh, man. That was a good story. I like that story. So I will have to at some point.
That was a good Freudian slip.
Yeah, I know, right? I will at some point bring out the second being spied on by Chinese communist story when it's appropriate to do so.
That's good. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, no, totally. Interestingly enough, though, it's not just me who tells all those stories. Here's one Ms. Molly Wood about whom we're learning ever more.
You've got a couple things going on with Tesla as a business, I would imagine. One is that these cars are really expensive and they feel out of reach for people. You have my big objection to owning an electric car as my only vehicle, which is when the zombies come, I want gas.
I don't do scary.
I just want to stop.
Zombie apocalypses don't bother me because I know they're real. They're not real.
Zombie apocalypse is my metaphor for all the bad things.
Right.
So I live in earthquake country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the grid goes down and, hackers are coming for the grid, there's a lot of things that could happen.
This is really funny because you're a technology correspondent and you're like, no, I want an old dinosaur in my gas tank to get me where I'm going.
Yeah. Because if I need to get up north with a bunch of abandoned gas stations on the way, I don't want my range anxiety to get me killed in the apocalypse.
How do you get up in the morning? How do you decide what pair of socks to wear?
I plan a lot.
Oh, man.
That's still true, by the way.
Yeah.
Still totally true.
Also, I don't do scary. I don't do zombies. I'm not doing any of that stuff, man.
I'm just saying you got to stare it down and be ready. All right. The occasional zombie reference aside, or like often in my case, this podcast is going to be about us taking stories that are in the news and giving you this additional context on why they're important. You're gonna start to play a little drinking game with us saying we're gonna connect the dots,
which means you're gonna be drinking a lot because we're gonna be saying that a lot because that's what this podcast is all about, right? Us just figuring stuff out together. I will tell you though that there are some ideas that come up and you go, wait a minute, what? And here's one: running government like a business. We try to break that down. We try to explore it because it's an interesting thought. Here's another piece of tape. If all you care about is your shareholders, then the only people who will care about you are your shareholders, mm-hmm. instead of the customers that you want to have who will buy your stuff, right?
Right.
And I think it's a flawed analogy to compare citizens. Okay, here we go. Here's my toot. Here's my rant. It's a flawed analogy to compare citizens in a representative democracy to shareholders in a company, right? It's not an ownership stake that we have in this country. It's a participatory stake that we have. Yeah. And we all are invested in the social goods, right? In the provision of social goods by the government, as opposed to shareholders who don't give a rat's ass about whether or not somebody really likes their iPhone. They just want the company to sell more of them.
Do you think that the shareholder mentality has infected Americans, and that's why we have such a sense of entitlement about what our government should give us?
Wow. That's a book, actually. You know that?
It kind of is. But we don't have time to write it.
Oh, all right. You know what's great is clearly at some point in that pilot, we had reached that point where we said, we got to move on, because Molly was like, got to go. That's
I know.
It.
I was like, wait, I'm just going to sit here and chew on this for a minute. Oh, no, there's Jenny in my ear. And she said, we have to stop.
We are also going to try to figure out why some companies can export their businesses overseas and some have a little trouble. It's an economics thing. There is one other part of this Uber deal that I just want to throw out there, and it goes like this. You know, people always say, well, look, Apple's a tech company and it succeeded in China. Yes, but here's what Apple originally did in China. It was a manufacturing company, right? It went over there and it made stuff that it sold into this market. Remember, it didn't sell into the Chinese market for a long time. It went over there and it manufactured things, and it had huge manufacturing plants. The other companies that have succeeded in China, right? So, you know, Google has failed and all kinds of other tech companies have failed. But if you look back over the years, the other kinds of companies that have generally succeeded there in the new Chinese economy have been manufacturing companies. Look, for example, at General Motors, right? I mean, when we were over there reporting 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, you could go to a General Motors plant in Shanghai, and it was as if you were standing in, the Ford River Rouge plant in Dearborn, for crying out loud. It was exactly the same setup. They were rolling cars off the line. It was clean. It was spotless. It was immaculate. And it was also a joint venture, by the way. You have to say that, right? I mean, China got its slice of the deal. But that's what they were doing. They were doing manufacturing, which is what Apple was doing. Uber's not a manufacturing company, right? It's a services company, and that's a services tech company. And that's what it's trying to do over there, which is, I believe, part of the reason maybe it didn't work out so well.
Oh my God, we were so smart in the summer and early fall.
Wait, and then what? Did we get dumber? What happened?
No, we took a break from the piloting. Oh. But I'm liking it. I'm hearing it and I'm digging it. And you can expect like more of that, and also big and little things that drive us a little nuts.
There are 100 plus or minus 158,000 garbage fires in the United States every single year. Now, can you guess, Ms. Wood, why I am bringing that up?
I have some thoughts, but what I really like is how you plus or minus it as though it's the jobs report.
Okay, like, so wait. Well, so I don't know. You're getting me going on one of my little toots. There's a margin of error on the jobs report that nobody ever talks about. It kills me. Oh my God, it's too funny listening back to myself. Well, I don't know how I got the word toot in my brain.
I don't know either, but I was just going to say a little toot.
Also, there's going to be our very favorite topic of all, because. Here it is.
Twitter.
We're going to do a little Twitter.
We're always talking on Twitter.
What is Twitter?
That's right. Just note the bomb, lest you think that we are too fanboy and fangirl. But fair warning, we talk a lot, or have talked at least, a lot about Twitter. This is the entire existential question that is Twitter. It is, on the one hand, profoundly powerful. On the other hand, I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to let Chris Sacca, who was an early investor and frequent critic of Twitter, say exactly the thing that we all think about it.
I mean, Twitter is just a series of missed opportunities. That's just my kid who I keep walking to their room and finding, like, the big pile of drugs under the mattress and be like, come on, you could have been somebody, you know?
That is the best piece of tape. Right? You could have been somebody. We are going to talk about Twitter a lot.
Obviously, you know, we talk about it probably proportionally more than its user base and current economic trajectory would merit, but it's the real reason is because it's been genuinely important to a lot of people. So, personal story warning, that includes me. Twitter has failed to make itself into a real business now for nigh on, as long as my kid has been alive, a little bit longer, almost 10 years. I got on Twitter, like, true story, when I was home on maternity leave and I just couldn't take it anymore. I just needed the, like, fix of humanity, but you can only handle 140 characters at a time. And so I'd have him as little Bjorn and be like, tweet, tweet. Thank God for Twitter.
Oh,
it saved me.
God.
I'd be eating mac and cheese over his little baby head with a hat on him so I can get it in
been
his
there.
Hair.
Been there. Well, no, you just wipe it off. I mean, it's baby hair. What do they care? All right. So here comes the audience participation part of this podcast. We want to hear, we need actually to hear from you about the things you want to get smarter about, because this is going to be me and Molly talking to each other, me and Molly talking to experts, and me and Molly talking to y'all, and y'all talking to us. So email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Also, check out our Facebook pages. We both have them, and they are going to be part of how we do this audience thing.
Yeah, and what really happened with our pilots over the summer and early fall is we realized, wow, we need some other people to talk to. Otherwise, it's still going to just be all Twitter. So please talk to us. And make sure, by the way, if you have listened to us or subscribed, please review our podcast on the iTunes. It really helps us, and it makes us feel great. And I do want to say real quick that if Kai thinks he's getting out of here without us talking about Pokemon. Oh,
can I tell you? No, this is a true story. I was in St. Paul, Minnesota. I flew there Monday night, and the desk clerk started talking to me about Pokemon Go. And I was like, no, man, isn't that over yet?
It is not over in my house, at least. And that leads us into our final clip, which is probably my favorite thing that I learned about Kai during the pilot process. He has a cold heart.
When my now 15-year-old and bigger than I am son was like 5 and 6 years old, we had Pokemon cards. And he would wake me up at 6:30 on a Saturday freaking morning and say, Dad, can we play Pokemon? And we would go sit on the living room floor and play Pokemon for hours. So maybe that's why I'm opposed to Pokemon Go. But you let her rip. You get the last word.
Well, I love how you describe this, like, super sweet, wonderful, fun sounding family moment. And you're like, ugh, kill me.
I am clearly the worst father in the world.
He's so cold.
All right.
I'm switching over to my kid's Pokemon account to make sure he gets a good Pokemon when I'm out in the world. Like, this is our big bonding thing.
All right, we're out. We are leaving on Pokemon Go. That's where we are.
And remember those reviews. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We will be back in January. We are now taking an actual break, but we'll be back in January with our first full episode right after Inauguration Day.
There we go.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.